Bob Mediah is a screenwriter, an editor, and a Sherlock Holmes expert, and we are talking about the return of BBC's Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch. So let's talk about that and more with Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Be back amongst the midnight skeleton crew.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
Very excited about the new BBC series.
Well, let's give people a little history. Now, the series has been off. You know, fans of the series had to wait for almost like 2 years, right? Hasn't it been like an insane amount of time?
Yeah, obviously because the two gentlemen playing the main characters, Benedict and Martin Freeman, are obviously in movies everywhere.
Yeah, they're a little bit busy.
Yeah.
One of them is The Hobbit, for God's sake. So
we've had two of those since this hiatus. And people have been on the edge of their seats wondering how did Holmes survive the fall from the building.
Well, let's talk about the first season. Is this the fourth season that just started?
Third season.
Oh, it's the third season that just started. Okay.
And there's only three episodes a season. So and basically what they're saying is that these are films. They're not it's not actually a TV series, but it's called a season because it's shown on television, obviously, but they are 90-minute episodes, mm-hmm. and they're extraordinarily well done, well researched, well directed, and but they are calling them films.
Now, tell me about the person who's behind this. It's a pretty popular guy. I mean, his other show is Doctor Who,
right? Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat.
Yeah,
the co-creators. Oddly, Mark Gatiss plays a main character in this Sherlock series. He plays the more intelligent brother, Mycroft. It's a delightful pairing whenever the two are on screen together. And last night's episode, hilarious.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin anything for anybody who hasn't seen it, who's obviously a fan or becomes a fan because of this conversation now.
Well, tell me about how this show began and the tone of the show. I have not seen it. I've not seen it.
Okay.
So tell me about this interpretation of Sherlock Holmes.
The two creators, Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat, obviously they've been in television for a while. Okay, they've I've come from the Doctor Who, which was another resurrected show, but that's been around for quite a few years. So I think we're coming up on 8 or 10 years for the new show that the new series of episodes that
right.
have been out. So they've been around for a while, and they basically got together and they talked, and one of them said, "Well, what about resurrecting Sherlock Holmes?" It's hard to go against that Jeremy Brett series because it was so glorious.
Yeah.
So they decided maybe a modern-day take, but not like America has done where they've frozen him or time-traveled him or something like that. They just set the stories in the 21st century and went from there. Mm. So they've taken Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories. You've got the first one was A Study in Pink. That's where Holmes and Watson meet. And in the actual tale, it's called A Study in Scarlet, and they find a murder victim who has scrawled a word that they think could be a German word for revenge on in blood, and that's basically the same premise. Only in this case for the TV series, it's a woman who has scrawled it, and basically what she's writing down is her daughter's name of Rachel, and it's a clue that only Holmes picks up on, and Watson, in the first episode, he kind of walks around, that's astounding, that's amazing, the same old Watson routine, but when you get to the end, Watson it's imperative that he be the character that he is, which is an army doctor who actually has seen battle and actually has fought in the Afghan war. And their friendship is cemented at that point, but it's a very tense friendship. And we go through two seasons of the two of them kind of locking horns every so often, because Watson is not an idiot, as is often portrayed unfortunately, thanks to what Nigel Bruce provided, which was comic relief. And but yet he is treated like an idiot by this version of Sherlock. And but that's not anything personal against Watson. He treats everyone like an idiot.
Sure, yeah.
So this is probably the smartest, most intelligent Sherlock ever portrayed, I think. He is definitely leaps and bounds above any other fictional detective or televised detective. The clues that they assign to him and that he picks up on are amazingly detailed. And you would think that in a day where CSI and stuff like that, all the stuff that Sherlock Holmes came up with, that he would be kind of outdated. And yet they still pull it off. He's still amazingly brilliant. The deductive reasoning is unfathomable. And now we're seeing a deeper friendship between these two.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off with A Study in Scarlet, which is A Study in Pink for this show, and it's because the woman was dressed in pink.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had The Hound of the Baskervilles, which was kind of a disappointing episode. And then we had The Reichenbach Fall, which was the end of the last season, where we've been waiting for 2 years to find out what happened, where Holmes jumps from a building and is seen as dead. And you find out kind of how he did it, but we're not exactly certain when you get to the end of this episode last night if that's the truth. And it's so I'm not sure we've actually gotten the explanation.
Okay,
which could still be very funny, because they start off with an explanation of how this happened that's absolutely ridiculous. And as I'm shaking my head, they put in the first plot twist. But now, one of the best things about last night's episode was that it's based on a story called The Giant Rat of Sumatra, which is not one of the written Conan Doyle stories. But it is a title of one of the unknown or unwritten cases that Watson mentions in the original 60 story.
Mm.
And it's described as, by Watson, it's described as a story for which the world is not yet prepared. And it's been written by a couple of novelists. One did a fairly decent job, but it didn't really stand up to the description of a story for which the world is not yet prepared. And then there's a couple that are just plain ridiculous and not even worth mentioning.
Mm.
But last night's episode definitely fills that bill.
Okay.
When you find out what the crime is and what Holmes ends up stumbling upon, and it's hilarious how he reintroduces himself to Watson, who has been suffering for 2 years over the loss of his great friend. And you know, then they meet up again. Very funny. And a joke that they just keep repeating and repeating. And probably the best episode so far.
Wow.
Now, next week we have Watson getting married to Mary Morstan, which was a character that you'll remember from the... it's a true character from the actual canon of Conan Doyle stories, but she was in the Robert Downey Jr. films.
Right.
And we get to meet her. We met her in this episode. Next week they get married, and I know a few things of what's coming, so people should, you know, if they're really fans of this show, they are going to laugh themselves silly when Holmes gives his toast as best man.
Okay. All right, Bob, hang on. We have
sure.
to take a break. We're going to talk more. Bob Medea is with us, and he is a Sherlock Holmes expert. We're talking about the return of Sherlock on BBC America last night. I personally know a ton of people who were unbelievably excited and have waited way too long to see this series come back. Three episodes, both about 90 minutes long. They're basically movies. There's three of them in the series. And we'll talk more about that and other incarnations of Sherlock, and also about some of the stuff that that Bob is working on. If you're a Sherlock Holmes fan, if you have a question or a comment, you can send it to 24720 via text and sign your name on those texts to 24720. And I'll read them on the air, and Bob can answer your questions. And if you're a Sherlock Holmes freak and you want to call in, 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. And Steve Cochran rolls in at 5. We get to hang out with him every weekday morning as well. The phone number is 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720, and I'll read those on the air. And you can also check us out at facebook.com/Nick D Show, where you should like us. My guest is Bob Madea, who is a screenwriter and editor and a Sherlock Holmes expert. And we were just discussing the return of the BBC America series, Sherlock, with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. And Bob really enjoys this series. And if you have a question or a comment, if you're a fan of Sherlock Holmes in any form, call us up at 312-981-7200. And we'll get back to the conversation with Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
This current version of BBC America's version of Sherlock, one of the better ones that you've seen in a long time?
Yeah, by far the best. I really enjoy Elementary on CBS.
Yeah.
And that's an absolutely delightful show. Holmes is, but he's more compassionate on that show. And then, of course, you got Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
If you just want eye candy. But she's also a very, very good Watson. I have the feeling that we're headed towards a romance, which I'm not too happy with. But but otherwise, halfway decent mysteries, good characterizations. I think the secondary characters on that show are much more interesting than Holmes is. Whereas in this, in the BBC production, Holmes definitely is the star.
Yeah.
And everything's geared towards his focus. Even though Watson is truly a main character because he basically tells the stories.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned, like CSI and all these other shows. It's kind of crazy how influential Conan Doyle's, invention, creation has really influenced almost so many things that are on television now. And the whole really smart detective thing has been an all-time high over the past couple of years with stuff like The Mentalist and, and other shows that have clearly been inspired by Sherlock. Do you see that in so many TV shows?
I do see that, but one of the really great things is that Sherlock Holmes actually did affect changes in police procedure. And there's a documentary that was on PBS called How Sherlock Changed the World. And it's all about his use of forensic science and observation and preserving crime scenes. And you can, if people are really interested in that kind of stuff too, not just for the Sherlock Holmes angle, but they have the DVD available at PBS.com. I haven't gotten it yet for my collection, but it is available there.
And it was recently shown on PBS.
Recently, yeah, within the month.
How Sherlock Changed the World. Did you like that? Did you like that show?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
However, it was made in England, so it's focused on mostly British stuff. But I think there was a Canadian detective, homicide detective, who solved a case because of his interest in Sherlock Holmes. And I think I would have been more interested in hearing more of that stuff than in just you learn a lot about the history of basically CSI and how Holmes had a little influence in things like bloodstains and footprints, stuff like that. So I thought that was very interesting, but I kind of would have liked to hear the stories of these detectives who used Holmes's methods and solved crimes.
Yeah.
So I did find the episode very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it's a recent PBS special that you can just check it out online. You can probably just go to the PBS website, and there's probably information about when the DVD is going to be released.
And I'm sure they're going to run it again.
Yeah.
So they can probably check for when it'll be on. And if people get Comcast, I know it's on demand on Comcast.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have Comcast, that's available on demand PBS special, How Sherlock Changed the World, a great documentary. And so as far as the Sherlock BBC version, mm-hmm. are they planning on doing a fourth season?
I've heard two rumors. I'm going to believe the first one, which is that they are planning another series of three films. And that, fingers crossed, it's going to be out late this year, so maybe December. So we don't wait as long this time around.
Right. Right. I mean, and this time,
the rumor is that this is the end.
Oh, so that
the last episode is based on his last bow, which was the second to the last collection of Sherlock Holmes stories, but written by Conan Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're not writing anything in any kind of order, so I take that with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But I have heard that they are going to go immediately into the next three.
Right. Okay.
So I'm gonna go with that rumor.
All right. Well, good. I'm sure fans are happy to hear that. They only have to wait 1 year now, just about.
Yeah.
Bob, hang on, okay? I want to talk more Sherlock with you, and and we'll talk about some of your projects that you're working on screenwriter-wise. If you have a comment or a question, you're a Sherlock Holmes fan, we have an absolute expert here. What are your favorite Sherlock Holmes movies? What are your favorite Sherlock Holmes stories? And if you're watching the BBC America show, what do you think of it? 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720. Much more to talk about with Bob. And we're also going to talk about some of the movies that he's being a part of that don't really actually have anything to do with Sherlock Holmes. But we're concentrating on Sherlock Holmes. The return of BBC America Sherlock Holmes is here, and we're celebrating that. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. The news is next. Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, we are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Cochran rolls in. We hang out with him after 5 every weekday morning. You can check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow. Like us. That's the best way to stay connected. It's interactive. Anything we're talking about is put up there on the Facebook page, and it's a really great way to stay connected to the show. You can also subscribe to our podcast. Do that. I know some people can't stay up all night, so the easiest thing to do is subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. Go to iTunes. You can also get information at WGNradio.com. So load up on the podcast. Subscribe right now at iTunes.com. You can call us at 312-981-7200. We are talking with Bob Adia, who is a screenwriter and editor and a Sherlock Holmes expert. And we were talking about the BBC's return of Sherlock, which happened last night, and so many people were very excited about it. Had to wait 2 years for the return of this series. And we're going to be talking more Sherlock Holmes stuff, as well as some of the other things that Bob is working on, including some movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Bob, welcome back.
Hello.
Before we get, because we have some texts here to 24720 and some Facebook comments and questions for you. But let me ask you, let people know, how did you get into Sherlock Holmes? Did that happen when you were a youth?
When I was a kid, I had come across the Hardy Boys mysteries. That's when I first got into mysteries. And the pastor of my church in Mokena, Father Burnett, gave me a copy of The Adventures and the Memoirs of Sherlock Holmes. And those were the first books that I read, and I got right into it then. But I had watched the Basil Rathbone series on WGN when I was a kid.
Yep.
And then there was a made-for-TV Hound of the Baskervilles with Stuart Granger, which is really, really a bad, bad movie. But I was a little kid,
yeah,
and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was the first. I remember staying home, and I was sick, and my mom said, "Here's a movie you might like." And I said, "Is it scary? Because I love scary movies." She said, "Yeah, it could be kind of scary." And I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
You watch it now, you know that fits your
yeah.
Your Rambo,
the Nighthawking, yeah,
but yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Of movies that are bad. Svengoolie did aired it and then made fun of it, added his little stuff to it.
Of course.
Made it, rich with comedy. And so now it's in my collection under the Svengoolie version. So I definitely love that.
So it started as a kid.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, okay. That's how many things begin. What did you think of Peter Cushing as Sherlock Holmes?
He's one of my favorites. In fact, when we talked about this before, I forgot to mention he did a movie for television in England called, Masks of Death. That's
okay.
What it is, The Masks of Death. If you haven't seen that one, you'll like it if you can find that somewhere. I've only been able to find it on VHS, so
okay.
I have it on VHS. But, yeah, if you can find that somewhere, that's a good one, and especially I know you like Peter Cushing.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites of all time.
This is a good one. It takes place right before the First World War, so Holmes is almost retired, and he's called in to investigate these strange murders that and you meet Irene Adler is in it, and there's this whole big conspiracy, political conspiracy. Definitely an excellent addition. And his final portrayal as Holmes was in that movie.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very good one.
All right. It's really kind of crazy because, you know, these guys who have brought Sherlock Holmes back on the BBC also were responsible for bringing back Doctor Who. Peter Cushing also played Doctor Who.
Right. That's
so
true.
It's a nice connection there.
Yeah.
Larry says, I love Sherlock. I just wish it would air in the U.S. at the same time that it does in the U.K.
Right.
It says, could you ask Bob if he has any suggestions for good Sherlock books by authors other than Conan Doyle? Val Andrews, maybe?
Val Andrews. He's written a whole bunch, and he's pretty good. And the novels are not very long. They're, you know, usually about a little over 100 pages. He's got a whole bunch of them. So the thing is, they're kind of expensive. They had limited runs, and the publishing house is out of business. So you can't get it from there anymore. You have to find dealers that are selling them, and you'll find that the prices are pretty high. Those are good. One thing that he may want to look for is there's a series out from Titan Books, and these are in every bookstore. So he can just go to those. Some are brand new, and some are reprints of older ones. But not by Conan Doyle.
Hmm.
They're all by modern day authors. So all he's got to do is go in. They all start with Sherlock Holmes and the, and you know it's in the new Sherlock Holmes collection. I think is what it's called. I've got one right here. Hang on a second. Mm-hmm. I'll do the title. The Further Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. That's what the series is called.
Okay.
But they're in alphabetical order, so you kind of have to go through the whole mystery section.
Okay.
But those are pretty good. So, you know, anybody who's looking for something new, we'll find those. And when it comes to movies, we have a big one coming up called, right now it's called, A Slight Trick of the Mind, which is based on the novel by Mitch Cullen. And it takes place in the very end of Holmes' life. He's in his 90s. And it's right after World War II. He's starting to lose his faculties, and he works on a case that he wasn't able to solve earlier in life. And he tries to, you know, figure out where he went wrong and maybe end up coming to a conclusion with that case. It's a very, it's kind of a disheartening book because it deals with, it's not Alzheimer's that he's got, it's more senility. And, you know, he's losing his grasp on his extraordinary powers. And it's really a very moody book. Ian McKellen, is that how you say his name?
Ian McKellen, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to play Holmes in the movie.
Wow.
And it's directed by Bill Condon.
Oh, sure.
The Fifth Estate, that was his most recent movie. And he also did Gods and Monsters, which is a brilliant film.
Right.
Who likes the old Universal monster movies,
yeah,
wants to see a behind-the-scenes kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he's directing it right now. And like I said, right now it's called A Slight Trick of the Mind. Chances are they're going to change the title to put Sherlock Holmes somewhere in there.
In the title, yeah.
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 Or, you know, there'll be like an addendum of, you know, Sherlock Holmes' Final Adventure, one of those.
Right. 815 area code says that Benedict Cumberbatch said in an interview that they'd have agreed to do a fourth series.
Okay, well, that's good then. Whether or not it comes out this year, I can't be certain, and nobody will know until they make more press releases.
That's right.
So
847 area code says that your guest mentioned Sherlock has a brother in the BBC. Was that in Doyle's original work? I don't ever remember seeing that on a TV show or movie.
Yeah, in most movies he's not. But yes, Mycroft was in the original Arthur Conan Doyle stories. He's mentioned in The Greek Interpreter. That's the first one where we meet Mycroft. And there's a whole scene with the two of them looking out a window and making deductions based on a man that they see standing on the corner. And Holmes will say one thing, and Mycroft, who is even more brilliant, adds to his deduction. And it's very witty, and quite delightful. The thing is, Watson's been with Holmes for, you know, like a half dozen years at this time, and he's never even mentioned his brother. And that's because his brother doesn't go anywhere except the Diogenes Club, which is mentioned in the new series, and his apartment, which is like kitty corner away from the Diogenes Club, and then his work with the British government, where at one point Holmes tells Watson he is the British government. So he's kind of like... In fact, one of the things to tie this in with James Bond, James Bond's boss is M, and people believe that the M stands for Mycroft.
Oh, really?
Well, Holmes fans do, anyway. So they believe that that was the designation. Mycroft, you know, deals with intrigue and
yeah.
You know, spy stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So that was kind of a nice little...
Yeah.
I don't know that that was Ian Fleming's intention when he named his character M, but it is kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of nice that,
yeah.
that Holmes fans would think of that.
773 area code says that many people don't know that the TV series House is based on Sherlock Holmes. The reason they named him House is because it sounds... It's a synonym for Holmes, which sounds like Holmes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and there's a ton of stuff in House. He lived on Baker Street.
Mm-hmm.
You see that in one episode. He lived in, his address is 221, and he lives in apartment B. So 221B Baker Street, that was Holmes's address, in the Conan Doyle stories. And then there are, they mention Irene Adler in there. There's an episode where House gets shot, and the character is never identified in the TV series, but in the script he's referred to as Moriarty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they never identify him, and he's never caught, oddly, throughout the rest of that series. They never catch the guy who shoots him.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Bob, hang on. We want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you're working on, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bob Mendia is with us. He's a screenwriter and editor and a Sherlock Holmes expert. You can send your text to 24720, facebook.com/NickDShow, 312-981-7200, right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. We're your overnight guys, Ted and Dan and me. Entertaining you every weekday morning between 2 and 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can send your text to 24720. We're talking with Bob Mendia, who is a screenwriter and editor and a Sherlock Holmes expert. We were chatting about the series Sherlock, which you can see on BBC America. It returned last night, and some of the other projects and some of the other books and things like that. But in addition to being a Sherlock Holmes expert, Bob is indeed a screenwriter and is working on some great stuff. What have you been working on recently, Bob?
I finished a short film, a short script, for a director friend of mine in Chicago, Chris Ramirez is his name. He did a short film of mine called Only Thunder, and we've won a number of awards and gotten into quite a few festivals with that short film.
Oh, great.
Excellent acting and, you know, if I do say so myself, excellent writing. and really, talk about a guy with an eye for... photography. He knows where to put that camera and he how to set a scene. I don't know anything about that stuff, but I know when I see it and it's good, and he is good. So
he's
going to definitely make a name.
How did you find him?
He was looking for a short script on Craigslist.
Oh.
And I contacted him with the script Only Thunder. He got a whole bunch of other scripts, and this was his favorite one.
What's tell me what Only Thunder is about.
It's about a small-town sheriff who is visited one stormy night by a woman and her child, and she claims to have a secret that he's kept for 7 years. And she reveals that secret, you know, over the course of their conversation, and then the resulting actions afterwards.
Now, was that shot here?
Yeah, shot in... somewhere, I don't know if it was exactly in Chicago. I think it was, but I was working the nights he was shooting, so I couldn't get to the set.
Are there local?
They showed it at that theater that you show your.
They showed it at the Movieco Theater.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we showed it there one night with I think three or four other Chicago-made films.
Oh, great. That's really great.
Yeah, that was nice seeing it on the big screen there.
I bet.
And the first time I saw it was on a big screen at a theater in Chicago. The Prairie State, something with Prairie State mm-hmm. was involved in it, in showing it. And I was totally blown away
nice.
At how good this short film was. So he's got another one of mine. He likes kind of dark stuff.
Yeah.
So he's this one I wrote, it popped into my head while I was watching a different movie. And it popped into my head, and I wrote it in one day. So it was a very quick write. And he'll take it and he'll, you know, add something or remove something. However, he feels that, you know, the script should go after it gets his control.
Mm-hmm.
And but we usually see eye to eye.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, one of the bigger things I've worked on. Some of the good news, I told you about Gator Shark the last time. Gator Shark versus the Zombie Cheerleaders.
Yeah, Gator Shark versus the Zombie Cheerleaders we talked about the last time.
That's still a go. We're hoping for this year. We're working on getting the funding for that. That'll be filmed in California.
Okay.
And also we're hoping for, and I guess we're pretty close on this, the release of You Can't Kill Stephen King here in the U.S. on DVD.
Oh, okay.
It was released in Germany and a lot of other European markets, and it actually cracked the top 5,000 of IMDb because of a review done by some very famous German movie critic.
Oh, wow.
So it rocketed right up into the top five. Actually, almost beat 4,000. We got so high on that market.
That's great.
Thing that I've just finished is my first faith-based script, so it's not horror. Not a mystery. It's about kids in Little League, and it's about bullying, and it's about bigotry, and uses a couple of lessons from the Bible. It was just something I felt kind of compelled to write. I had written a short version of it, and Chris Ramirez was the guy who kept saying, you know, this really should be a feature.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years to actually work that through in my head. And And, you know, finally I came up with a way to make it a feature, and I was very impressed with it.
Wow.
Very different from what I usually write, but it's also very funny. So, I mean, I've done a lot of funny stuff, and there's a lot of funny stuff in this,
wow, great.
This script. So I got my fingers crossed for that one.
All right. Well, keep it going. It sounds like you're keeping really busy. We got a few texts to
okay.
Bob, Peter says there's a version of The Hound of the Baskervilles with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore that's very funny.
Oh, well, then he's the only one who thinks that. Because I've seen it. I've got it in my collection. It's atrocious.
Yeah, I saw it, too.
We talked about that one before, too.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't a fan of it either.
Oh,
630 says, hi, there is a Holmes TV series from the late 50s or early 60s that was rebroadcast a couple of years ago. Is your guest familiar with that one? I think it was a half-hour show.
There was... the Ronald Howard show probably is what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That was shown on I think a lot of the PBS stations, and you can buy the DVD. The DVD has plenty of copies of the DVD still out there. You can get them, you know, fairly cheap. Comes out with the whole 39 episode series, and those are quite delightful. They're not great, but most of the stuff is original work, not based on Conan Doyle's work. So you're not seeing the same thing, you know, done again and again.
Right.
So original mysteries. And Holmes is very smart, but he's also kind of lighthearted in it. Watson's a pretty good character, though, although he's the one with more of an attitude, it seems.
Oh, really?
Yeah, than Holmes.
And what time period are we talking about, 50s, 60s?
I think the 50s. I think it was in the early 50s. Let me see. I've got the DVD right here with me. Produced by Sheldon Reynolds, so
okay.
Yeah, I think probably in the 50s.
Okay, and it's available on DVD, obviously, since you're holding one in your hand right now.
Lots of different versions.
Okay, and then Terry and McHenry says the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes was excellent. Miss him so much.
Me too.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
He. Well, that was the. Those are based on Conan Doyle stories. My wife loves the version of The Hound of the Baskervilles. I'm not a big fan of it because it looked a little rushed to me. I think they could have taken more time with the most famous story. But they did an excellent job with the Sign of Four, which is, oddly, that'll be what they're going to do next week on Sherlock.
On BBC.
Version of that. And it has to do with a treasure hunt, has to do with the romance between Watson and Mary, and it's Holmes at his most brilliant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think, the most fun. Because you got, you know, you're looking for a treasure, you got a bad guy, you got a strange locked room mystery, you know, where the murder victim is dead on the inside of a locked room.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just probably the best, in my opinion, it's the best of all the Conan Doyle stories, even though lots of people like The Hound.
Yeah.
And so we get to see that, and I thought they did that wonderfully on the Jeremy Brett series.
Great. Okay. All right, Bob, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the insight. Sherlock on BBC America runs on Sunday nights. There's two more films to go to end the series, and it looks like they might be doing a fourth one. Hopefully we'll see it by the end of the year.
Hopefully so.
Okay. Bob, thanks very much, okay?
Thank you.
All right, have a great night. Bob Madia, who is a screenwriter, editor, and a Sherlock Holmes expert. Look for Gator Shark versus the Zombie Cheerleaders. That should be fun. All right, quick break. News is next on WGN.